Well, praise the Lord. It's really good to be here in God's presence again today. We're in Revelation week 18, study 18. I want to speak about the living creatures today. And we're taking a reading from Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 to 11. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And we can say that today. If you're a born-again Christian, we can all say that together today. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We know who the Creator is. Before I was born again, I didn't know the Creator, but when I heard the gospel, my eyes were open, and I realized that all things were made through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is exalted to the highest place, and everything, he is the Creator, and everything is in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even what appears not to be in subjection to him, in God's eyes, they are and will be one day, when we will see that the full manifestations of the sons of God standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, when the curse is lifted from the earth, and we will see that all the world and all creation will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, even though they're not bowing in the hearts and knees now. But they are subject to him in the plan and mind of God. It's in God's purpose that Jesus is coming back, and every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And when he lifts that curse from the earth, he says even the trees will clap their hands, and the fields will rejoice, and the mountains and the hills will sing together in worship to God. All creation will praise him because he set us free. And I just praise the Lord today that I belong to Jesus Christ. And you know, it's wonderful to belong to Jesus. And all the money in the world, you could put it all before me now and say, here's your choice, Jesus or all the gold in the world. And I'd say, take that away. No matter how poor I was, take it away. I wouldn't exchange what I've got for anything. My salvation is precious. I know who my Lord and Savior is, Jesus Christ. I know who my God is, and I know he's given me eternal life. And I know him. Why do I know him? Because his Spirit is in my heart. I have the Spirit of Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, come to him in your sin, because you're a sinner. Repent of your sin and ask him to forgive you and come into your life, and you will become a born-again Christian. Then find a born-again church and have fellowship with other Christians there. Now I want to speak about the living creatures. These living creatures are angelic beings. They're similar to the living creatures in Isaiah and Ezekiel. What am I speaking about? I'm speaking about the cherubim in Ezekiel and the seraphim in the book of Isaiah. The difference, there is a difference though. The differences are that the cherubim in Ezekiel each have four faces, but here they only have one. You would have to look in the book of Ezekiel to see what I'm saying. But these only, each one has one face. Ezekiel's cherubim possess wheels full of eyes. But these creatures that we're speaking about in Revelation chapter 4 possess the eyes themselves. They're full of eyes. And these eyes symbolize unceasing watchfulness. They're before the throne. And their eyes are on God and on his glory. Unceasing watchfulness. It's almost like that their eyes are, you know, their eyes are on the Lord. And yet, you know, they're aware of everything around them. These creatures are of the highest ranking order of celestial angelic beings. You can't get any higher than to be the guardian of God's glory, can you? And to be there in unceasing worship before the Lord. You can't be closer to God than that. Hallelujah. And that should be the aim of every Christian today. to want to draw nigh to God, to come before the throne of grace and worship Him. God made us to worship, to love Him, to serve Him, and ultimately to owe us worship Him. And we have proof of that in the book of Revelation when we see these awesome angelic beings, these creatures worshipping God, unceasing worship, and the elders falling down before Him, casting the crowns before Him. And on that day, oh hallelujah, we'll be overwhelmed at the beauty of the Lord. And I know there are times in your own life where you've been overwhelmed with the beauty of the Lord, and you've been silenced in His presence because of His holiness, and you've been melted to tears, and your heart has been full and bursting with the love of God, because that's how awesome He is. Can you imagine it when we see Him in all of His glory? And we'll have bodies transformed and fitted for that glory. Praise the Lord. It says in the Bible, we shall be changed. We, in the twinkle of an eye, and our bodies will be changed, transformed, be made like unto His glorious body. So we will be fitted for glory. See, these bodies are not fitted for glory. They couldn't take it. We would be melt in the glory of God. And so He has to change our bodies and fit them for glory. Praise God. The Bible says we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. These creatures are, let me repeat, the highest ranking order of celestial angelic beings. You can't get any higher than being that close to God. And that should be the aim of us all, to draw nearer to God. How can we draw near to God in this world? By spending time with Him daily, like Jesus often withdrew to be alone with His Father. And to read the Word and to pray, let God speak to us. And let us speak to Him. Let's have fellowship with the Lord. So the function of these is one of these creatures of ceaseless worship to God. And the four faces representing the subjection of all the nations to God. That's what these four faces represent. Now let me speak about these four. For instance, the first living creature was like a lion. Now we know that the lion is the king of beasts. So the first living creature that was like a lion was representing the chief of beasts. Now what does this symbolize? It symbolizes majestic courage. And the second living creature was like a calf, representing the chief of cattle, which symbolizes strength. We know that the Bible speaks about this often, about the strength of the calf. And number three, or the ox, we can put it in that term. The third living creature had a face like a man, representing mankind, which symbolizes intelligence. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle, which represents birds, or symbolizes speed, or an eagle, prophetic vision. We know the vision of an eagle when it soars high up, and it's high on that mountain, and it can see that rabbit miles away. Incredible sight. And it speaks of the prophet. It speaks of the prophetic anointing. So praise God. So the four faces of these creatures symbolize courage, strength, intelligence, and speed in service of God and prophetic insight. Although the primary function of the four creatures is worship, they are also bearers of the judgments which follow the breaking of the first four seals. Now, we'd have to have a look at that in Revelation chapter 6. And I'll just quote one verse, but you can see it through all that chapter. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Now, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." Now, when I read that, I sense the prophet, "Come and see." Because that's what God said to the prophets throughout the Bible. "Come and see." Then He would give them a vision of something. And then God would say to them, "Now I have given you this vision. I want you to communicate that vision to the people I send you to." He spoke to Isaiah like that. He spoke to the patriarchs like that, and they shared it with the families, been passed down to us today. He shared it with Ezekiel and Jeremiah like that. What do you see, Jeremiah? And then Ezekiel, we read the first few chapters when he saw the cherubim, which are, and let me just little talk about the cherubim a bit today. The cherubim, they appeared in theophany and judgment in the Old Testament. We're talking about their appearances actually in the Old Testament in a vision to Ezekiel, appearing in winged human animal form with his faces of lion, ox, man and eagle. And then throughout the Bible we see the cherubim actually inscribed, carved out of wood in the temple. We see them overshadowing the mercy seat where God would commune with the priests and so on. But the cherubim are also the living chariot or carriers of God when appearing to man. Read it in Ezekiel, that's what they were. And they're his throne bearers. They were guardians at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and were cast out. And they stood there, the cherubim in the east of Eden, with a sword swinging it back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life so that no man would enter. So they're kind of like, to me, they're not only the ones that are worshipping, ceasing glory to God, but they're also like heavenly bodyguards, also protecting the glory of God. You say, well, God's glory doesn't need protecting. Well, you could get right into this, but God made these angelic beings for a purpose. So who are we to question God? That's what they were there doing. And that's what they were there functioning like, not only in heaven, but in a vision. And it's almost like this vision, it was an open vision to Isaiah. It was a reality that heaven came down into the natural realm when he was there by that river and so on. And he got the visions from God. Praise the Lord. And so we find that the cherubim, the curtains of the tabernacle were embroidered with cherubim. Exodus 26 verse 1 and so on. They're mentioned throughout the Bible. Now I know it says in Exodus chapter 20 verse 4, thou shalt have no other gods. Let's just read it, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 verse 4, the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Carved images in the temple of cherubim, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. I mean, they were a description of the heavenly cherubim, or that is in the water under the earth. You're not allowed to do that. Well, praise the Lord. You know, that wasn't in any formal way a breach of that commandment. It was just something God ordained himself as symbols of what was in heaven. There was no form of idolatry in that. So don't misunderstand that scripture when you read it. If it was ordained by God, it's okay. That's the main thing. But let me get back to this verse here. Because really this is what I want to emphasize today. The prophetic anointing has come down upon God's people for those that are obedient to God. There are many who people of God who are not aware of this and want to be used by God. And if you believe what I'm saying today, that prophetic anointing will come upon you. And you can ask the Lord to start to show you incredible things from his word about the signs of the times and then start to interpret it to the church and to the world. There are many people today that might be listening to this word even today and reject it because you say, well, you know, God wouldn't judge the nations. The book of Revelation, I don't agree with it. I don't believe in judgment on the earth, the seal or the trumpet, the bowl judgments. Well, if we don't believe it, we're actually denying the word of God. This is what God said would happen. And Jesus spoke about the signs of the times in Luke 21. There'd be signs on the earth, distress of nations and perilous times would come in Timothy and so on. And so, for those who believe and want to be used by God today, let God's Spirit come upon you. Let the mantle of the Lord come upon you, the prophetic mantle. and let him give you the eyes of the eagle, because that's what the eagle symbolizes in this book. It symbolizes speed. And there is a speed and finality about things that I'm speaking about today. We haven't got much time left before Jesus returns. But it also speaks about the eyes of the eagle. It sees above. Because it is above, it can see all that's happening on the earth. And that's what the prophetic anointing does. It elevates you above this earth, where you can actually see from God's point of view what is happening according to the plan of God. And then you can interpret it accordingly. And you can discern the signs of the times. And then you proclaim. You see, if you're prepared to take on this prophetic anointing, then you have to have the courage to be prepared to take the flak that goes with it. Because you will certainly be judged, criticized, and persecuted for proclaiming the word of the Lord. But at the same time, the spirit of glory and of God rests on you, and you will be honored by God. It will cost you to stand up for the truth. But if you stand with what God is revealing to you, and it is from God, then God will confirm it in the end. It might take time. If it's not from God, then it's not from God. It's not. That's why we've got to spend time with God in prayer and reading the word and ask the Lord to speak to us and show us. Then when we've got it from God, it won't be in your head, it will be in your heart. And then, you know, it will fill your whole being and your mind as well. And you will know it. You'll have a conviction from God in your heart that this is the word of the Lord. And you can put it out in faith. And when you put it out and you know it's from God, it's going to have power. And even though people might not agree with it, they will be affected by what you say. And in the end, many will turn to the Lord from it, because then they will see if these things are so that you're saying, and they'll start to realize, oh yes, they said that quite a while ago, but I've been observing it, and now these things are actually happening. So that's the true word of the prophet. The Bible actually speaks about, if the word of the prophet comes true, then it's a true prophet of God. If it doesn't, then it's a false prophecy. Now, some people who are genuine and sincere Christians, make mistakes and give out false prophecies. But that doesn't mean to say the heretics or antichrist or anti-God have simply made a mistake. But if somebody is willful and they're demonized or being used by Satan to give out false prophecies, that's a different story. Then they are false prophecies, because they're full of heresy, they're full of deceit, they're full of deception, and they've got an antichrist spirit. That has to be rejected. But if you're a true born-again Christian of God, you will make mistakes. But seek the Lord and let him put that anointing on you. And have the courage of your convictions. You can't be a wimp. You can't be a spineless jellyfish. You've got to have backbone to be in the prophetic ministry, to have that prophetic anointing. It doesn't mean to say that you're a prophet. Some people will honour that people with the gift of the prophet and the ministry of prophet. It just means to say you've got a prophetic anointing. You can prophesy. It doesn't make you it put you in the position or the office of a prophet. And yet some of you, it might. But just believe that anointing will come upon you. You have to have a simple childlike faith and come with humility before God and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So the key word for anybody who wants to be used in prophetic ministry is meekness. For without meekness, you'll not see the Lord. Without meekness, you'll not hear from the Lord. Without meekness, God will not use you in this ministry, because you're taking on a responsibility. You are bearers of the word of God and eschatological teachings of God in these end times that can steer people down the wrong road or the right one. You're basically a person who's preparing the way for the Lord, like John the Baptist was. And God wants to raise up many people to do this kind of ministry today. Will you be one of them? Let's just pray. Lord, we ask you to water your word in our hearts, and we surrender our lives to you right now. And we pray, Lord, that you will use us, Lord, to be faithfully proclaim your prophetic word. Lord, give us a revelation on the signs of the times that we may interpret it to the people out there and be proclaimers of the word of God, and to help people, Lord, and warn people of world events and your near return. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.